Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome on into Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by Mealy's Furniture, all the styles you love
for less.
On Sports less. Radio 94 WIP, Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin.
How many draft picks do you think the styles you love would cost? If you went into Mealy's and you were like, I want that, you know, sectional couch.
You
want
to make a big blockbuster trade with Mealy's?
Yes. How many firsts?
I would say whatever the rule is, double that.
Double.
And Mealy's actually allows you to trade first-round picks in back-to-back years. So you can trade whatever you want from Mealy's best
no
furniture.
Rules.
You'd have to pay more than the Sixers paid for Tobias Harris. Well, we have ourselves a conversation we have to have here, Spike, because last night, and you know it because you recorded your podcast right after it.
Yep.
In the middle of the night, the Sixers went and got, I think we can call Tobias Harris a fourth star or semi-star.
All stars are not created equal,
yes.
But I think it is fair to say that he is a sub-star, star. What would
almost
you say?
Star?
25 to 30th
yeah.
Best player in the league overall. Maybe this year, maybe he's top 20-ish, something like that.
Star-ish level player.
Star-ish, right.
And a guy that's probably working towards a max contract. 888-729-9494. Let's talk about the Sixers pull off this trade last night and change a lot about their present, about their future, and about the way we view this team this year. So the big story, obviously, is Tobias Harris. He's the star coming here. They also get Boban, who everyone's going to love. They get Mike Scott, a big guy, a forward that can shoot.
Yep.
And they trade away Wilson Chandler, Landry Shamet, Muscala, the 2020 first rounder, and the 2021 unprotected Miami pick. Now, that's the thing there. Like, Tobias Harris coming back is the big thing, but they gave away that unprotected Miami pick.
Yeah, that was the final jewel. That was, you know, as we've seen every trade scenario go over the last few weeks when people suggest them, it's always, here's a bunch of junk and the Miami pick.
Yep.
The Miami pick, not quite worth what we thought it might be worth when they got it, because that was supposed to be the double draft year, the year that they got rid of one and done. But so it is really their last valuable piece that they had to trade was that. So they traded two firsts, two seconds, and Landry Shamet, which is a good player on a controlled contract, mm-hmm. for Tobias Harris, whose contract expires in 4 months. There is no question that they paid a lot for Tobias Harris. I guess the question is what is the upside, what's the ceiling, and what's the floor on this, and what's the potential risk?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I mean, and there are risks. We could talk about them in this hour. I think it's worth it, Spike, because they're all in on this now, and I do think part of this is a hedge for their future because of the whole Jimmy Butler situation. And they control Tobias Harris's birds right now. It's like the same thing they could do with Butler. They could pay him more this summer than they could, and anyone else could pay him. So they have the option of paying both Harris and Butler and keeping them both around having this big four, or they could effectively choose which one they want to bring back, and no one can match them. So this is all in for this year, but it's also, I think part of this is they're looking to try to keep this group together for a while.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that they're better with Tobias Harris than without Tobias Harris. They're better today than they were yesterday. It's hard, you know, you can talk yourself into anything. When you look at what they traded for Harris, when you see it the first time, it's hard for your reaction not to be that's a lot.
Well, especially because he's a free agent after the year.
Yeah.
If he was under control for 3 years, different story.
There is no doubt they're better today than they were yesterday. There's also no doubt that it's an overpay, because if the Clippers are willing to trade him, that means the Clippers, you were negotiating with a team that probably was not going to have Tobias Harris on their team mm-hmm. next year. The risk is, the overall risk is you have shot your final bit of bullets on a guy who could walk, or be a guy that is not quite good enough to get you over the top. I don't think there's any chance really that he walks. I think it would have to get pretty bad here that he walks. I think your point about it being a hedge against Butler, they're saying that the report from Woj, they're all in on all four of them. I don't think they are really. I unless they can get Jimmy Butler at a bargain, I'm in favor of this trade if they don't pay all four guys. And that's what I'll say. I think it is a a risky trade. I think they overpaid. I think Tobias Harris is good, but I do not think you can lock in those four guys at that high number. And unless they can get Jimmy Butler for 2 years or for 3 years or at a low number or something like that, I think they got to let they got to either trade Butler, let him walk, or let him walk at the end of the year. I'm good with Harris. I'm good with these three guys and trying to build around them.
And now the big thing is, how good is this team now with these guys? So we know they still have a lot of issues with depth. And you mentioned they just gave away a young player on a controllable contract. They're going to probably have bench issues, even if they get a buyout guy or make one more trade, which we could talk about before tomorrow at 3 o'clock. They're basically going in, Spike, on their starting five, on having five guys that really nobody else can match one through five except the Golden State Warriors. They have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference when you look at it on paper. Now, we'll see how they play and how Brett uses them, because I guess in a way he could use them not playing together all the time to mitigate the bench he has. But if they just line up those five guys with Simmons, Redick, Harris, Butler, and Embiid, that's really good.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see a lot of staggering those minutes if for two reasons. First, because the bench is so thin. Second of all, these are all guys who get shots. These are all usage guys. Tobias Harris is
all averaging 17 points a game, which no starting five has. Now, I imagine together, someone has to come down.
Well, right, and what's it going to be? Because Tobias Harris is taking 15 shots a game, right? And what was Wilson Chandler taking? I don't know, but it couldn't have been more than seven. Something like that. So where are those shots coming from? And how much does Tobias Harris go down? And how much do these guys buy into it? Look, at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, none of these guys, the key to this and them winning in the finals, going to the finals, is Embiid, and are you making his life better? I think Tobias Harris makes his life easier. None of these players that they got are going to be the best player or second best player on the team. You know, Tobias Harris is probably the third best player on the team right now, and Butler's the fourth. And that is a good starting five. Still don't think they have anybody to defend smaller guards.
They don't.
They haven't solved that problem. Hopefully they do that either in the, you know, by 3 o'clock tomorrow or in the buyout market. I guess the question, what do you think their chances were at getting to the finals before this trade, and what do you think they are now?
Well, I think they're considerably better now.
Right.
Not to win the finals, because the Warriors still
they're
loom.
Not going
to
win the finals.
I don't think anything they could have done this year would have changed that.
Do you think they have a 1-4 shot of going to the finals?
Now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Better than that?
Maybe 33%.
30%?
Yeah, out of three.
Yep.
Maybe 33%.
Yeah.
And maybe it was 20% before this, 15% before this.
Do you think it was better off that they get the Tobias Harris trade done now, or they go into the offseason and see if there's something better? Because I think he's a good player to get. I walk back to hindsight's easy when it's 2020.
Yeah, of course.
And neither of us were super positive on Butler when it happened. I understood it and sort of justified it. But walking back to that, you go back to that trade. Imagine if you do this trade, but you still have Covington as a piece too.
You know,
if they had just waited, you know.
But now that they're in, I feel like that's the way they did this. They are so far into this thing now. Like, look, they made the trade for Butler. They have to make a decision on Butler. If they didn't make a trade like this, it was probably going to end in the first or second round this year. Now at least they're giving themselves a chance to make a run this year. 888-729-9494, #9494. Do you like the Tobias Harris trade as the Sixers go all in? Matt in Westchester's up. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Matt. What's up?
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about this trade, and I called in last week, and we talked about, you know, Ben Simmons playing the point and whatnot. And, you know, I think I the team is better this season, right? How far they can get, I'm not sure how everybody's going to gel together. It's still a concern I have, you know, and kind of what you talked about, defending a smaller guard. The half-court set in the playoffs, I'm going to be interested to see how it works, but the bench shortens in the playoffs, which is going to help a team that has a starting five that the Sixers can throw out there. My concern is that it is conceivable that in 2 years we have Joel Embiid and no draft picks. And that's it, because these guys can all leave.
Well, Simmons can't really leave. It'd be tough for him to leave.
I mean,
he would have to turn down a max extension and take a qualifying offer. That seems unlikely.
And to go with your point there, Matt, they'd have to choose to not pay both Harris and Butler more than anybody else. Like, I find it hard to believe both those guys will walk away, because they could pay one of them or both of them more than anybody else can, because they're here already.
I agree. I'm not sure that Tobias Harris is going to get I'm interested to see what he puts up throughout the rest of the year, right? Because is he going to be deserving of that max contract on this team being the third or fourth best player? I'm not sure. I like to see how he does. He's having a great year this year. He's got the ball a lot more. He's got the opportunity to shoot a lot more, and he's shooting fantastic. I find him to be a really good player, and he's, you know, in the prime of his career. So anytime you can get a player like that, I'm all in. I'm just concerned. I'm concerned for the future, because if this does not work, this is the process done.
This was the last move.
You're right about that, Matt. We appreciate the call. There are no more moves to make.
No big ones.
Trade one of these guys away that they've acquired already.
Yep. There are no big ones left. There's no the Markel Fultz thing is a salary dump for a vet. There are no big moves left unless there's a free agent signing. But trades, they're done. They don't have anything left to trade.
888-729-9494. Eric in Miami is up next. Writes to Ricky Sanchez Radio. What's up, Eric?
Kind of depressed, actually. But first, I want to say something positive, because every time I come on here, I'm accused of saying something negative. So
accused. Accused.
The media accusing Eric.
It's our narrative. Yeah.
Rightfully accused.
Yeah, okay.
Embiid and Simmons are improving.
They are, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty crazy. I think there has been a significant difference in the last, like, 2.5 or 3 weeks, honestly, that it started to pop. So that is true. They have definitely gotten better together.
I know, absolutely, and I'm glad you appreciate saying something positive and agree with it.
Yep, and there it goes. Okay.
All right, however, after this latest ridiculous overpay, Jerry West and Danny Ainge collectively have now gotten the Sixers to spend the equivalent of 5 firsts and 2 seconds to acquire a fringe second-tier star on an expiring contract, and Markelle Fultz, who, by their own admission, incredibly, they haven't seen play basketball since November. Well, I mean, at least they can take solace that they've been fleeced by the best. Or maybe it's better that we just say that this management group are not the most savvy shoppers. I mean, they would probably walk out of Mealy's complaining, "We can't buy here. These prices are too low."
And we know the price of Mealy's are low, Eric. We all know that.
You know Eric's a regular.
Instead, I think they'd say, let's run over to the airport or the shops they got at the casinos. I mean, they always charge like double over there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Seriously, we need to keep in mind that while Colangelo is gone, his same crew with Elton conveniently in place, disclaimer for Elton, conveniently in place to provide the cover, they're really running things. I mean, to recap, without Brian's brilliant oversight, besides this horrific Tobias Harris trade, they managed to fly out to L.A. last summer to meet with LeBron's butler or valet or whomever they saw when they were out there.
I think it was the butler. I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Then there was whatever that Bielitsa thing was, and let's not forget re-signing Amir, acquiring the Scala, and getting virtually nothing in return on what was left of the player formerly known as Wilson Chandler and his $12 million contract. And then there was the beginning of the year where we had that unprecedented situation where they started by alternating halves with the different guards, and, of course, the trade for Crazy Jimmy. And that deal isn't looking so good now, as you just said. And by the way, it appears that, and this is kind of disturbing, it appears that the team really didn't take any time planning on how they were going to use it. Now it's like, let's try him at the point. That might work. I mean, where was the planning? Why don't you think about that before you make a trade? So really, Brian Colangelo, you may not be here anymore, but your spirit is alive and well in the Sixers organization.
Wow. I've got to say there's some things I agree in there. Obviously, some things I disagree. That is Eric's strongest call to date in the history of Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. I think it was your best. It had funny. It had positive. It
worked Neely's in there.
It really – you worked the sponsor into the call. It was unbelievable. I think that there has been a decision. This is without any knowledge. This is just sort of like watching. There has been an organizational decision that is, I think Elton is doing more than providing a face to it, like you're saying. But I do think that there's been an organizational decision that we are doing this now. Make the best of it. And we were talking earlier before the show started about when you put a clock on something, like think about Cleveland when they had LeBron. When you put a clock on something, you're not going to win trades anymore. Like what you're going to do is you're going to do your best to get what you need to get there. The question is like, we don't think the Sixers are within a Tobias Harris of winning a championship. So when they lose trades like that, it's more harmful than when Cleveland trades a first round pick for Kyle Korver.
Yep.
Right. So once the rest of the league knows that you're in this position, all of a sudden, just in the same way that it was easier for Sam to win trades because he didn't have to win anything, there was no pressure to do anything, so he could just sit back and take time. I think when they're now in this position, their ability to win these sorts of deals becomes even more difficult because everybody knows the situation that they're in. So,
and as you know, Spike, this is why I was against the Butler trade, because I thought the timing was just not right. I mean, I mentioned at the very beginning of this call that Embiid and Simmons are improving, and that's why I thought that trading for Butler was premature, and going all in right now is premature.
Yeah, they sped it up, Eric. They sped everything up, and I think that's...
But it's wrong, because you don't win a championship in the NBA with youth. Everybody knows that.
Well, that's so you're right. Right. It's about... You're right.
Wait for these guys a few more years, and Embiid and Simmons, they're improving. In a couple more years, they're going to be ready to contend for a championship, and that's when you go all in.
Eric, appreciate the call. But listen, on that last point, when it comes to Embiid and Simmons, we kind of had this conversation when they traded for Butler. We don't know how long Joel Embiid is going to stay healthy and be this great of a player.
I also think, and this is crazy, and this is just me projecting, but I do think that it is possible that a lot of the reason why Embiid and Simmons are playing better together is they have galvanized to keep the team.
This is our team.
From Butler ruining the team. Like I know that sounds like I'm being, you know, that's hyperbole, but I think that this guy came in and he told the former team, you need me, you cannot win without me. And that stuff started happening here. And I think it's possible that Simmons and Embiid looked at each other and go, this is our team. And we're not giving it up. And there is a possibility that that doesn't happen if Butler doesn't show up.
And I also think that every team, there's been this thing in the NBA the last 5 years, and I understand it, that almost no one goes for it because the specter of the Warriors. At some point, someone has to have some guts and go for it. The Rockets did last year and got pretty darn close. Any team with LeBron will go for it. But most teams outside of those three teams the last 4 or 5 years don't really actually do it. They just pretend to go for it because they know they can't win the finals. I think the Sixers look at the East and say, there's a chance we get out of this.
Right.
The East is vulnerable. Like the Bucks are really good. They've proven nothing ever in the playoffs. That's a young team. I really think there's a chance they get out of the East this year.
Yeah, I look at the Bucks, and when I think about the finals, I think, are the Bucks going to go to the finals with their second-best player is Chris Middleton and their best player can't shoot?
Probably not.
I don't think so. You know, like,
and
I think
the best
somebody
team
will
in the
beat
conference.
Them. Right. I think somebody will beat them. And then once you get there, I don't know. Somebody turns an ankle.
That happened a couple years ago. So, yeah. Curry wasn't the same.
Yep.
888-729-9494. #9494.
Somebody punches somebody else in the jewels.
Listen,
you never know.
Crazy things happen in the NBA Finals. #9494. Come back. Your calls. Do you like the trade? The Sixers acquire Tobias Harris, and they're obviously all in to try to make a run this year. This is the Rights to Ricky Sanchez radio show brought to you by Amelia's Furniture, all the styles you love
for less
on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by Amelia's Furniture, all the styles you love
for less, Joe, for less
on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin talking about the Tobias Harris deal as the Sixers acquire a fourth piece last night in a deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's talk to Todd in South Philly, who's up next. What's up, Todd?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Todd. What's up?
All right, so the only thing that worries me about this deal at all is Josh Harris. So he doesn't seem like the type of owner who cares about winning as much as he cares about making money. So what kind of performance will it take from these players in order to get him to pay the luxury tax? Because if this team looks good but he doesn't think they're good enough to win, he's probably just going to let one of them walk, and then it sets us back even further.
Well, it depends on what they then use their cap room for, because they could, I mean, they could let one of them walk and then sign a couple other players and still have a really good team next year and not be over the tax. So it depends what they do at the top. But I think the Harris factor is part of this. Like, if they get to the, let's say they get to the finals this year and lose, everyone in this town will bang the drum that they can't break up that team. So he'd have to bring him back, but that means going into the tax. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do.
And let's get two things straight. First of all, there is no better, and I am not, this is not an anti-rich person thing at all, but there are no people on the planet who are better at avoiding paying tax than super rich people.
That's how they got rich.
That is, you don't get rich by spending money on nothing, and taxes is spending on money on nothing. They are better at it than everybody else in the entire world. And there's a reason that most teams do not like going into the tax. There's a reason that the Thunder traded James Harden to not go into the tax. Like, all of these things, they don't like going into the tax. So, like, for them to be a tax team has to be, as Joe said, this team has to be an obvious title contender. They're not going to spend, he's not going to go into the tax for, remember, too, this isn't just Josh Harris and his money. Like, Josh Harris answers to a board who like, this is a lot of people's money. It's not just Josh Harris's money. So you don't just go and spend extra money to have a good team. If they're an elite team, I think they will. I mean, I think it, not year after year after year in huge numbers, but I think in a reasonable level they will. But I don't think it is smart money to spend $120 million on four players if three of those four players are the 20th to 30th best player in the NBA. You know, like, Embiid is obviously worth every penny, but is it worth it to spend $30 million on Tobias Harris, $40 million on Jimmy Butler, when we're all going to look at each other and go, like, these are the 25 and 26 best players in the NBA? It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. I don't think it's the most productive way to build a team, and I don't think it's the most productive way for him to spend his money.
I guess it comes down to compounding errors or mistakes at that point, because where it comes down to for me is you kind of have to pay these guys. You've gotten rid of everything the last 5 years that not just this team but this city has worked for. The 5 years of the process, you got rid of some depth pieces like that were super important to this, especially the right Sergi Sanchez when it comes to Dario and it comes to Rock Covington.
They were very important to us. Yeah.
Yeah, like they were special, and the thing is, if you're gonna just let Butler walk or you're just gonna let Harris walk after this season because they were good but they weren't great enough, you're then compounding your errors, and it just erases the last 5 years of this team's misery. They'll lose the city if that happens, and that's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's why I think, Todd, I appreciate the call, man. That's why I think the Harris thing is a hedge on Butler. I find it very hard to believe one of those two is not here next year. One of those two have to be here.
Yeah,
they have no draft picks.
Absolutely.
And how will they? How will they fill that role?
I don't think there's any way Tobias Harris isn't here next year. There's a way. Obviously, it would have to go very, 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 very badly here. But he would have to pass up money. Mm-hmm. I just don't think. I think he'll be here. To Todd's point about losing the city, I agree that if they decide that this team isn't good enough to spend the money on, that they could lose the support of people in a PR way. But I don't know that that means it is the right decision for the basketball team. Like, if you trade Covington and Dario for Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler gets here, and you look at him and you go, look, he is declining, he's hurt all the time, he's been a problem in the locker room, he thinks he's better than he is, even though he's a good player, like $40 million a year, that is going to be one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Quickly.
But I traded Covington and Dario for him. Like, I always say, if you spent $20,000 on a car, but you found out the next morning that the brakes do not work, would you drive it to work anyway because you spent $20,000 on it?
Listen, man, I'm sorry I crashed into your building, but I paid for this. Like, yeah. I can't do anything now.
It's just not the right reason to do anything. It's a more of a right reason to be careful with every move you make, but not to double down on what you think isn't a good decision.
Which is why I believe if they let Butler walk, the story will not be they don't want to pay the tax. The story will be, this guy doesn't fit in here.
Right.
We're going to get better with him not being here. We could use the cap room. We could do something else. 888-729-9494. Mike in Springfield. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I think the difference, and I give the trade an F, but I'll tell you why. I think Harris is more like, He's a Robin. He's not a Batman. He's not one of those guys. He should not have been in the All-Stars. I don't think he'll ever be an NBA All-Star. I really have him more as like a 55 to 75 player in the league.
Oh, he's better than that. Mike, I mean, you cannot like the trade, but he's better than the 55th or 75th player in the NBA.
This is his fifth team, okay? This isn't like any other. If I'm right, and we'll find out quickly enough, if he averages, let's say, 9-10 points a game, gets 3 or 4 rebounds a game, and they even think about giving him max money, that's not special.
Mike, he averages 20 points a game in the NBA. Well, why is he going to 9?
On a team that has nobody else who can shoot right now with the Clippers, who are actually looking to get into the lottery. They're hoping to get Zion Williamson. They're not trying right now with the Clippers to be NBA dominant. Let's be totally honest. They got rid of Blake Griffin. They made moves to get bad, almost like the Sixers did for their process, right?
But Mike, so before you go on, this guy has averaged since he was 21 years old in the NBA. He's 26 now, so 6 seasons. He's averaged at least 14 points a game every year, and now he's up to 20 as he's and you can make the case that he's on a team that stinks and whatever, but like 9, that's not going to happen. Well, like he's been a 14 to 20 point scorer for 6 seasons.
The team's 30-25 in the Western Conference. Like they're not bad. They're a good team. They're not bad. And he's playing with other players. I'm just telling you. Is he playing with Michael Jordan? No, but he's playing with Danilo Gallinari. He's playing with Lou Williams. He's playing with Pat. But these are guys that shoot. He's playing with Shai Gilgeous Alexander. These are guys that shoot and score. They're the 6th best offensive team in the NBA.
Here's what I think the difference is. There, the ball's in his hand because he's the Batman, right? He's the star. Here with the Sixers, if that ball's not in the hands of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, if he scores 14 or more points a game with the Sixers, that means they're losing. I mean, they need the ball in the hands of the other guys. He's not going to be able to hold the ball for 10 or 12 seconds in the shot clock, not when you have Simmons and Embiid. So on this team, I don't think he fits at all. I think it's like when Joe Johnson got max money, and I remember everyone at work said, "Oh my God, Joe Johnson is not worth max money. He's just not a Hall of Famer." And guess what? He destroyed every team he was on. No team won a title with Joe Johnson.
Wait a second. Wait a second. It's one thing to say no team won a title with him, and that's the truth, but he didn't destroy teams. Those Nets teams were good he was on.
Hawks
were pretty good.
John Stockton never won a title. Karl Malone never won a title. Charles Barkley never won a title. Like, Joe Johnson's probably a Hall of Famer.
I think he made so much money that they couldn't properly balance the roster. That's what I'm saying. If they give Harris anywhere near max money, this team is doomed. I'm going to be the first one to say it right now. If he scores more than 15 points a game this year for the Sixers, that means they're going in the tank and losing. That means either Simmons or Embiid got hurt or something really awful happened to the franchise. He's not that good. Harris, he's been on 5 teams for a reason.
Yeah, I think that, well, no, I don't think that there is some sort of smoking gun. Mike, we preached to the call. I don't think he's young. A lot of NBA players get traded a lot when they're young, especially guys that came out of high school.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Markel Fultz has only been on one team.
He can't play either.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Joe Johnson right now because that's the comp that Mike just brought up there. From his age 27 to 30 season, he averaged 21, 21, 18, 18. If Tobias Harris does that, I'll take it.
Yeah, J.J. Redick's also been on the Bucks,
a lot of teams.
The Magic, the Clippers, the Sixers. That's 4. Am I forgetting one? Bucks, Magic, Clippers. I feel like I'm forgetting one. No, he started on the Magic, right?
He did.
Yeah, so it went Magic to Bucks to Clippers to Sixers. So 4. I guess he's a
really
malcontent, too.
Yeah. But, you know, that Markel Fultz, he's just on one team.
We're just on one team.
Let's talk to Tom in Westchester. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Spike, you asked a very interesting question earlier, which was, should the Sixers have waited?
What do you think? Should they have, Tom?
I think they should have waited because we overpaid in this trade. I would have said, look, wait. I go to Jimmy Butler and say, you want to be the man? Man up and get us into the playoffs, get us deep into the playoffs. We're not going to win this year. Even with this trade, guys, right? We're not going to win this year.
Well, what's win? Win the title?
Exactly, yeah. So go to Jimmy and say, you want to win? Go win. And if he proves it and we get somehow into the finals and end up, you know, close, great. Give him a contract. But, Spike, you're spot on. I think we should have waited. We overpaid.
So I think the reason that we overpaid and we didn't wait if they wanted Tobias Harris was if you let him get as an unrestricted free agent without having the advantage that you can pay him more, you're really taking a shot in the dark that he picks you. I think, yeah, if Harris was the guy that they wanted, then I approve of them making the trade rather than waiting for free agency. But if they weren't targeting Harris, if they just wanted somebody, I think there's a fair argument to be made that they should have waited.
I think really, Tom, we appreciate it. I think the really this is the question. The price they chose was the Miami 2021 pick to know they're going to have one of Butler or Tobias Harris.
Right.
That's what they did last night.
Yep, yep.
And now they're going to have one of these guys. They could have both. It depends on what Josh Harris does. Jack at Santa Barbara. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Spike.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, man?
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I agree with Spike. I think this is a hedge. I have noticed of late Jimmy seems to be on the decline, and the chemistry is not what it was when he came in. Is that your take on it, Spike? He doesn't seem to really be clicking when he's out there in the flow of passing the ball around the court. What's your take on that?
Jimmy, he doesn't look great.
Yeah, I think he looks either disinterested or declining or both. He has had moments. You know, it is amazing what a couple of highlights will do for a reputation.
And he had those jump shots to win games.
So
he got here.
The two jumpers to win games, so he's clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the block on Kemba Walker, so he's a lockdown defender. His off-ball defense over the last week has been embarrassing. So either, and I'm sick of hearing, here's what I don't want to hear about Jimmy Butler anymore. I do not want to hear he's saving himself for the playoffs. You are not Michael Jordan.
Not LeBron.
You're not LeBron James.
Jack.
You're also not 35. You're 29 years old. You're supposed to be good at defending. You're supposed to be like a positive, you're supposed to be a plus defender.
And you're playing for a contract.
Right. I don't want to hear that you're waiting for the playoffs. You've won two playoff rounds in your entire career. Yeah,
I don't think they're going to keep him and give him a max contract because of those aspects of his personality and his playing style. They're not congruent with the guy he promotes himself to be. So I see Ben taking the initiative and ratcheting up his game. I'm stoked about that, and I like the way it's having an effect on the entire team. Yeah, that's how I feel about
it. Yeah, and you're not the only one, Jack. I mean, I feel like that has been – I think people are noticing more all of the other stuff that goes along with Jimmy Butler the more he's here. And, man, the next, three, 4 months with Jimmy Butler are going to be telling because now he's going to have to take less shots just because they brought in a guy that takes 15 or 16 shots a game or did in Los Angeles. And the spotlight's going to be on how this team gels. Like, there might have been some gelling issues just for three. Now they have four guys. They want the ball in their hands.
I think Jimmy Butler, somebody told me I think John Johnson told me he left before talking to the press last night.
He didn't talk to the press last night.
I don't know, man.
Listen, tough night.
What's his deal?
He's Jimmy Butler.
Dude, he's got to, you get to a point in your life, you're going to turn 30, man. Starts getting real.
Things change.
I'm telling you, I'm 42. I wonder where the time went. I wish somebody told me when I was 30, stop being such a jerk.
Don't be stupid, Jimmy. 888
Don't wait until your hip is bad to become a good person. That is my tip to you. You wait until your hip is bad, all of a sudden you're taking this voodoo glucosamine, hoping it makes your hip feel better, and you wish that you were nicer to people when you were 30 and you could run faster.
See, this is the advice that everyone out there needs. 888-729-9494 for Life Philosophy with Spike. We'll come back. Your phone calls. We'll talk about Markelle Fultz. Let you hear NBA insiders are saying. Markelle Fultz may be out of here by tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll talk about that. And don't forget, we'll end the hour with the Keith Pompey comment section, which is why we know you're all listening.
Yep.
This is the Right Sir Ricky Sanchez radio show brought to you by Amelia's Furniture. All the styles you love
for less
on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's a chance. I mean, teams like Atlanta, Orlando, they've talked with Philadelphia on Markelle Fultz. I think there's a real possibility he's played his last game with the Sixers, but they've got until 3 p.m. on Thursday to figure that out. But
Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by Mueller's Furniture, all the styles you love.
For less.
Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, the voice there of Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, along with Zach Lowe, discussing, Spike, the idea of Markelle Fultz being out of here by tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and if there's any trade left to be made and the Sixers try to find bench help, that's the move to make because they don't have draft picks still to trade. And as we look forward to the summer and what they might do with bringing back Harris and or Butler, having not have to pay Markelle Fultz $9 or $10 million, whatever it is next year, that would help. It would help if he's not here.
Yeah, I wonder what his value is.
Not much.
That is the one thing that is it even worth? Like, I guess there's no reason why a team like the Magic or the Hawks or, you know, the Bulls would not give you a vet on an expiring for Markelle Fultz. It's just, it's that thing where I imagine if you're the Sixers, you don't think he's going to play. You don't think he's ever going to be good. You don't. But man, if you trade him for, if they were to trade him for 2 months of Robin Lopez
or Terrence Ross.
Yeah.
Or
can you imagine looking back on it if he were to become an all-star, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's the fear.
But they can't be afraid. They've gone down a road where they're all in on now and all in on whatever they can become in the next year or two. Fultz doesn't help that.
No.
So I'm ready to move on. Like, he doesn't help this team this year. They already traded a lot to get two players to help this team this year. And they have cap issues going forward. I just don't see any way he helps them. You're not wrong, though. If he even became good, decent, and they got back an expiring nothing, we'd say, wow.
Yeah, it is. I think he'll be gone. Like, my guess is he'll be gone. You can't wait until the summer. People talk about waiting for the summer. What are we waiting for? Because if you're going to move him in the summer, then you got to attach something to him to move.
You might have to give a pick you don't even have.
Yeah, or people are like, well, we have so many second-round picks. Yeah, sure, but why are we waiting? What is the purpose of waiting to the summer? I would say that the only thing is that he has a salary that you can trade, but I don't know what trades we're making in the offseason anyway. I don't know.
Let's go to the phone lines here. 888-729-9494. Don't forget, we'll have the dramatic reading of the Keith Pompey comment section coming up later in the hour. Dave in Cherry Hill's up now. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I got the perfect Fultz trade.
Let's hear it.
For Iguodala.
Fultz for Iggy.
Iggy comes back to Philly, brings us the championship, plays a pivotal role. And if anyone's got a shooting coach, I'm assuming it's Golden State that could work with Fultz.
Why would the Warriors do that, though?
Because they're never going to have a chance at a young prospect because they're too good. So this would be like their lottery pick, you know?
Yeah, I don't think on the verge of their third straight championship, as they're trying to become a dynasty, they're going to take their best bench player, who specifically continued to play in the NBA so he could live in the Bay Area, and trade him to a city that mostly hated him for maybe the worst bust of all time. I think it's unlikely, though I would love for the Sixers to do it.
I would love to see a camera on Iggy's face when the deal went down. I'm going back to Philadelphia.
Oh, you got me there. I'll give you that.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be for it, but.
Yeah, sure. Would you trade him for Durant while we're at it? Why are we stopping getting Iguodala? Like, let's work the phones. You know, Steph Curry had ankle problems. Maybe remind Golden State that happened. Or you know, the Lakers, if they can't get AD, why don't you just call the Lakers, see if they want to give you Ingram, Josh Hart, and maybe throw in LeBron for Fultz. Didn't you know this guy was the first pick in the draft? Might I remind you, LeBron is 34. He's only getting older. But Fultz here, he is 20. And he's only 20 years old.
How long into Markelle Fultz's career will his draft status not be able to be used anymore?
Here's what I want to say. You have to imagine somewhere the Celtics, with Jason Tatum, who has obviously regressed, unable to get Anthony Davis, have to be kicking themselves thinking, why did we not trade for Markelle Fultz sooner? I think you're able to hold up the Celtics. Forget about Iguodala. You hold up the Celtics, you get Tatum, you get Kyrie Irving, you get them to throw in Brad Stevens, who acts as an assistant coach for the Sixers. Maybe he coaches up their defense. You send Fultz to the Celtics, and you hope that it doesn't bite you in the ass in the future.
Here's what I think the Sixers need to do. Tonight, Elton Brand needs to send an email to every GM under like a fake email address and remind them all that Markelle Fultz was the number one pick in the draft.
Send him his Washington tape.
Exactly. Yeah, and man. Then they'll be like, wow, this guy's available. He, you know, guys, he was the number one pick in the draft.
Have you seen this Draft Express video? Have you, you perhaps have seen it? He's a three-level scorer.
Is he James Harden 2.0?
With defense.
Let's talk to Austin in Villanova. What's up, Austin?
I got to tell you, I think Eric in Miami and Mike in Springfield killed brain cells for me.
Yeah. Eric from Miami is a legend. Don't you besmirch his name.
I'm sorry, Spike. Now, let me explain why they're very wrong about Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris, if you look at advanced statistics, is actually a better fit for this team than Jimmy Butler is. Why is that? Because his usage is at 23%. He does not need many touches to get to get the 21 points a game that he's averaging. He's also shooting 49% on pull-up threes and 40% from threes, catch and shoot. He is better than the best thing I thought they could ever get at this trade deadline. And I think he puts them over the top now, where all they have to do is go out and get one of Wesley Matthews or a Wayne Ellington, and then there's no question in my mind that they're headed to the finals. But to say that he's a 14 points a game scorer, I mean, come on, do research, know what you're talking about.
Search his name on Google. Yeah, Austin, he's a much better scorer than he was painted in one of our calls earlier. The question is, did they give up too much to get him? But I like the player a lot.
Well, and thank God we didn't have to give up Fultz in the deal. We really snookered Jerry West on that one.
I could see them flipping Fultz for Torian Prince in Atlanta. That relationship with Brett Brown is established with Lloyd Pierce, and and they need a rebuild. But I do really think that this team is right there, right there.
Yeah, they have a shot in the Eastern Conference now, Austin. We appreciate the call. Maybe the Hawks would want Markelle Fultz. I don't know.
I always love the trades. Let's trade our bad player for your good player.
Well, they have a relationship, though. You have to remember that.
Right. So Lloyd Pierce is like, okay, we could have gotten more for Torian Prince, who is a pretty good player.
But I'm friends with Brett, so I have to do this.
I think it would take – I know they want to get off of Prince because they don't want to pay him, but I think it would probably take more than Fultz.
All right, let's grab one more, and then we have our dramatic reading of the Keith Pompey comment section. Aaron is in Mount Airy. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Joe? What's up, Spike?
What's up, man?
I've been going back and forth with a couple people, and I'm willing to let Jimmy walk at the end of this year. I doubt that they would look to move him at the trade deadline because it seems like they want to go all in this year. I would, if he wants more than a three-year deal, I would let him walk. I really would. I would let him walk and look to see if you can get – I hear you talk about on your podcast, Michael Brogdon and Chris Middleton. But I will let Jimmy walk. I would not give him no more than a 2-year, 3-year deal. I just can't.
He's going to want way more than that, so that would probably mean he's going to walk, Aaron. And I'd be okay with that, too, because now you have Harris. Like, you have the hedge now. You have the other third player in him.
Yes, and everything the Sixers are doing is solely based on the development of Ben Simmons and how much greater Joel Embiid can be. That's what the Sixers are about. Anything else is just gravy on top. It's all about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I will let Jimmy Butler walk. No problem. I wouldn't even care.
It is amazing, Aaron. We appreciate it. It's amazing, Spike, how the reaction towards Jimmy Butler has just flipped in it. Just maybe a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he first
is.
Got here, it was like, oh, Jimmy's here, and then they started weighing a little bit. But lately, I haven't talked to anyone lately who's like, you know what? Give him the max.
Jimmy buckets. That's Jimmy Buckets to you, Joe Gillian.
That's right. Well, he just drives a van. He's humble.
Yeah, he likes country music. He's annoying.
That's
all
what he
those
is.
Things.
All right, let's do it. We end every Rights to Ricky Sanchez hour with a dramatic reading of the Keith Pompey comment section from Philly.com. Where do you want to start? You want to start after the Kings loss? Are we going chronologically?
Well,
after the Butler trade? Where do you want to go here?
Let's just start at the top of the page after the Raptors loss. Let's start from last night. So these, of course, are the comments on Keith Pompey's stories on Philly.com. This is from Niners66. Sweet detective work, Pompey. Biggest trade of the year right under your nose, and you're still throwing out names. At least you work Fultz into the article.
Chef Wonka. Huge trade just made. Everyone but the Inquirer reporting it.
Zeru says, Brett Brown is ruining the Sixers, and it has nothing to do with the talent on the team. Mike Muscala is not an NBA player. He takes the power out of power forward. He is more no power backwards.
Brett Brown has three all-star caliber players in the Eastern Conference as in fifth place. Is it because of the bench? Yeah, because he got rid of the bench. Go around the league and look at all the draft picks the Sixers have had to see how they're doing with other teams. Looks like Jahlil finally getting a chance in New Orleans. Sam Presti has collected all the rest of the Sixers for his team's bench. Fire Brett Brown before the playoffs start.
There is no reason we should be losing convincingly to a team that has just Kawhi Leonard and a bunch of rotational players when we have the best center in the NBA and a freakish point guard, even if he can't shoot, and one of the best finishers in the entire NBA before he got to the Sixers and has since been rendered useless. It's the goddamn coach.
My sock puppet account threw this in last night, quoting Brett Brown. Right now, we haven't seen Markel for how long, he said, and we all understand his progression back to the court has been sort of managed in a slow-type fashion. And so, for Markel, right now I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised with how he arrives back with us, more than assume he is going to be there. WTH is this word salad. Doesn't he know what's going on? Clueless!
Simmons and Embiid, 10 turnovers and 17 missed shots. Equals another loss to a good team. Simmons should be traded to the Globetrotters.
Oh man, Brett, what are you doing? We all thought it couldn't get worse than Colangelo. Might want to hold off on that conclusion for just a bit. I think Brett and Melton are going to have to give him a good run for his money.
Sixers should consider Carmelo Anthony as part of their bench scoring because they really need bench scoring. Also, Carmelo Anthony is a better stretch four for Embiid and Simmons because he can shoot. Elton Brand should go and get Carmelo.
The Keith Pompey comment section.
Oh, another good round. Do you think Keith reads his comments?
He cannot. Even when good things are happening with the team, that stuff is in there.
Yep.
Like they trade last night for Tobias Harris, and it's like, well, they're screwed.
Yeah. I would love to meet these people. We should have a happy hour for the Keith Pompey commenters.
I you know what? Let's do that.
Yeah.
Bryce Ricky Sanchez meets up with the Keith Pompey comment section. Spike, fun hour. Tobias Harris is here, and we'll do it again next week.
We sure will. I'll see you then, Joe. And well, actually, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and this was, of course, Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by Miller's Furniture, all the styles you love.
For less.
On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.